Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to another edition of your favourite podcast, Insane in the Membrane.
Insane in the Membrane.
Hello everybody. You join me, Rich Wilson, back in the studio with producer Paul, as we bring you another fantastic episode of this brilliant podcast. I've just got back from travelling. I can actually call myself a road comic this time. I've been all over the place. I was in Sheffield. I was in a place called Cleckheaton. And then I ended up in Stockport. Well, we'll come to that in a minute. I'll tell you about that in a minute. But before we do all that, as you know, and if you don't know, I don't know where you've been, this podcast is being sponsored by those wonderful lads, Mark and Stacey, from Save Our Souls Clothing. They do wonderful things with their ethically sourced, vegan-friendly garms. And they take care of our merch, the membrane tees and hoodies. So if you go to their website, sosclothing.co.uk/membrane, and use the promo code membrane, that's one word, membrane, you'll get 15% off, not just of our tees and hoodies, but across their entire store. What's not to love about that? It's so generous. And their stuff is brilliant. They've got a wonderful range. They've got some new gear that's dropped as well. So go and check out the boys, sosclothing.co.uk/membrane. Use the promo code membrane and you'll get 15% off, not just our hoodies and tees, but off the entire store. There's also going to be a new website that they're setting up. I can't remember what it's called. Buythemerch.com. That's coming up soon. It's not live yet. And so on there, our merch is going to be on there as well. And it's going to be there's going to be a different range of colours as well. So it's not just the gold ones. There's going to be red, black, white, gold, green. There's just some good ones. I'm going to put it up on the socials as well. Do that as well. Go to my socials. Go to I Am Rich Wilson on Instagram. There's also Membrane Podcast on Instagram, Fembrane Podcast on Instagram. So, and I'll put it all up on there. There's the Tuned Up Time Machine as well. Go to those on the socials. And you'll see all the adverts and things. There's all the links and stuff that for you that you need for all of our things. So do that. That would be fantastic. Also, we have limited edition Insane in the Membrane coffee beans. Yeah, man. A roast made to our taste by Wogan Coffee in Bristol, of all places. Home to my beautiful, beautiful boys. If you go to wogancoffee.com and use the exclusive membrane listener promo code membrane, that's one word, you'll get 10% off our podcast packs. So do that for us. And if you do that, can you send me a picture? Send me a picture of it. I want to see it. I'm not seeing it yet. I need to order it myself. But send us a picture so we can have a look. So thank you to Wogan Coffee for doing that for us. That's superb. So that's the admin out of the way. This episode as well, as the episodes over the last couple of weeks, they're also on our YouTube channel. So go to that. If you click the link in the episode description, you'll see us in action in the studio. You see that going on. I've been travelling. I started off. I did the lead mill at the other night, which was because people that listen to this podcast or listen to the Tuned Up Time Machine radio show that we do on Islington Radio, you will know that I love my music. And so when I play music venues, I get a little bit giddy, especially when it's something like, you know, the lead mill, when so many great bands have played there. And Sheffield has got a spectacular musical history. The heritage of the place is next level. Like a lot of my favourite bands come from there. Arctic Monkeys, Remnant and the Makers, Pulp, of course, Richard Hawley. There's been all manner of Human League, of course. So many great bands come from Sheffield, so it's always great to be back. So the other night I was doing the Leadmill, and just stepped out on stage, I just felt like a proper rock star. It was wicked. And then the next night I was in a place called Cleckie, and Cleckie in his sort of where is Cleckie? And it's in between Leeds and Bradford, I think. I made a stop off to Saltaire. I nipped over there because I wanted to have a wander around Saltaire for reasons that will become apparent later on. And I wanted to just so Cleckheaton. I didn't even know where this place was. I'd never heard of it. I got there and it was, I was trying to find the gig, and it was in this brewery, Mill Hill Brewery, can't remember, Mill Hill, something like that. And I got there, and it's this wonderful place. It was like, and I said this to a couple of people, and we had a right laugh. It's like Phoenix Nights. It's like a heavy metal Phoenix Nights. It was brilliant, and we had such a good time. I ended up having a chat afterwards with some of the people, and got having a few beers with their own beers. So I'm getting pissed, and I ended up talking to this guy called Thomas Buchanan, who's a luthier. I never even knew what that was, but he's someone who makes stringed instruments. He makes the world's finest mandolins. It's this wonderful Scottish guy, Thomas Buchanan. And he kept looking at me all night. I thought, oh, I've really fucked him off. I've annoyed him. He kept staring at me. And in the end, we had a chat. He went, no. He goes, I just really enjoyed your company. I really think you're great. And I went, oh, I think you're great as well. We had a really nice time. It was really cool. It just goes to show, you never know, do you, what's going on. And then the next night, I was in Stockport for Outside the Box. And I got to gig with the wonderful Ted Robbins. Ted Robbins, man. And he's the uncle of Emily Atack and the sister of Kate Robbins. So I had a moment there. I was like, oh, that's amazing. Anyway, I'm whittering on here. I'm telling you all this shit. We've got to get on with the podcast, don't we? That's why we're here. And my guest this week is a mate of mine, Mr. Michael Legg. Michael Legg and I we've had some wonderful times in each other's company. A really nice guy. And you'll hear the origins of our friendship in the episode. And it was really nice to get to chat to him and find out more about him. Because whenever we meet, we're always talking about music, like heavy metal and things like that. So we don't really delve into each other. But this is a real opportunity to do that. And he's such a great guy. And we had such a laugh. He was so funny. So this is, then again, when you talk about mental health, it doesn't have to be po-faced. You know, you can have a laugh when you're doing it. We've all got troubles. We've all got strife. We're all dealing with things. But it doesn't have to be sat there. You don't have to sat there do it in a maudlin way. You know, this is why Membrane works, because we talk about things and we have a laugh when we're doing it, and we talk about some pretty heavy shit. So, you know, and you'll find out in the episode. And what I found spectacular was that Michael Legg is a huge Marillion fan, and we didn't mention it once. So there you go. How about that? What an achievement. Anyway, I've witted on enough. So coming up in a minute is Michael Legg.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
A podcast from producer Paul.co.uk.
Insane in the membrane.
You're good, Mark.
I didn't know this was going to be visual. I mean, I'm fine with it.
I mean,
you know what? You've got me as is.
You know what? This is the best way. The thing is, if you're honest like this, there's nothing. They've got nothing on you.
Got nothing on me, mate.
Nothing on you, mate.
Nothing on me.
You're all right. You good?
Really good.
Yeah.
Very. Good. Good. Yeah. I don't know what better word there is than good. Good seems to be the word.
Nice. Have you been gigging? You been out?
I have been gigging. I haven't rushed back. Have you rushed back?
I did.
We've had this conversation because we have actually gigged together.
We have. Yes, we did Glee, didn't we?
Yeah.
We had a lovely time. That was a nice one.
Really lovely time.
I have actually. I have been flinging myself around, gigging wherever. Wherever they'll have me, I go.
Yeah.
And
I'm too scared to go. Like, I'm too scared to go far.
Yeah?
I don't know why. I think, like, I'll go to Birmingham and then I won't get COVID.
Oh, I see.
But my God, I'm not going to Swansea. I'll definitely get COVID.
Apologies to all of our Welsh listeners.
Oh, no, that's a complete dig at commuters.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
People on trains are the people who are spreading it, as far as I and my paranoia are concerned.
Dude, they don't give a fuck. No one's wearing masks.
Everyone's given up.
Yeah.
They've just given up.
Yeah.
The people who wore masks and defiantly wore masks, they don't wear masks anymore.
No. And the thing is, because before we were inundated with information about the rise of the cases and this and this and that and that. But now we're not so much. Now we're being dazzled with all the other fucking, the actual crimes of our government. People aren't taking any notice. And
this is the thing. And when our wonderful leaders, you know, occasionally sort of hint that, by the way, numbers are rising. We're going to go back to, you know, maybe mandatory masks on public transport. It's not going to happen.
No.
Because people have... No, but we did that. Even the good people, the people who clapped on a Thursday.
Yeah.
But still couldn't actually give a fuck about keeping 2 metres away from you. But they did do a lovely clap.
It was a good clap.
Those people got... No, come on now. No, not this again.
Oh, we've done this, like you said. We've done this.
But I didn't die the last time. Yeah.
I know. So, yes. So, yesterday. So, this week, I've been. So, I started off in Sheffield, and then I was further along in Yorkshire. I was at Cleckheaton. I ended up in Stockport yesterday. So, I was in Manchester yesterday for a bit. And every single piece of transport that I was on, people didn't give a fuck.
No.
And you're just sitting there.
Do not give a fuck.
No.
It's given up. But listen, on a much more positive note, it's amazing that you were just immediately off the top of your head, you could quote where you were. I cannot do that on the very best of days.
Really?
I can't just go, like, does this not happen to you as a comic? Go, oh, well, were you gigging last night? Where? And then you just go, I don't know. Like it was yesterday. I don't know.
You've been asleep.
You're going to have to really give me time to think about this.
Do you enjoy it still? That's the thing, regardless of the travelling.
Right. Well, here's the twist. I enjoy it now.
Mm.
So it's not a case of enjoying it still, because I didn't enjoy it. I didn't enjoy it for years.
Mm.
I enjoyed doing my own solo shows, but those are quite rare.
Yeah.
So, I didn't really like doing club comedy, but it was nothing to do with club comedy. It was doing me.
Mm.
I hate my set. I hate it.
Yeah.
I think it's boring and it's not funny. In fact, there's nothing worse than, this is how much I hated it. I'd be on stage doing my set that I despised and getting laughs. And then looking at the audience, what a bunch of cunts you are.
How dare you.
What a bunch of fucking morons you must be to find me entertaining. So it was, I'd say, not a good place to be in, job-wise. That's terrible job satisfaction. You're doing your job great. That's not what I want. I don't want, if that's great, that's not what I want.
But I said to you, last time we met up, we were in Cardiff, and I said, oh, no, it was after we were texting. And I did say to you that I found you intimidating before I knew you. When I first heard of you, knew you, like, you know, I knew of you, I found you intimidating.
And I mean, I don't know why, other than the fact that, you know, it could be a bit of a... I think snobby twat is really... It's not unfair, is it? It's not unfair to call me a snobby twat.
There's elements
But,
that,
you know, yeah. I distinctly remember a gig that we were... I can't remember if we had met before that. I get the feeling we had.
Mm.
But when I say I can remember the gig... It was definitely in Europe.
We can. It would have been then. It would have been then. Yeah,
whittle it down, and you were, I think, closing. Yeah, you were. You definitely were closing, and you'd been to another gig, so that was already your points were well above.
Ah,
so it's like, oh, I see this guy that I don't really know. He's got another gig. So, and I found the room not that easy, and I know how long I'd been around for. Well, I didn't know how long you'd been around for, because I didn't really know you. And the very fact that you come on and you waltzed on, and also you looked good, so that didn't sit well with me. That you looked good, and then you fucking had a great one. I was like, God damn it.
Who's this prick?
Well, I thought you were brilliant.
Thank you.
I can safely say from the first time I met you, I thought you were brilliant.
Oh, mate. Thank you. It was the same with you. So I love
it. I'm glad I intimidated you.
You did. You did. And it was. I think I knew you. Yeah, because I knew I'd seen you do things maybe online and stuff like that. And
yeah.
And you do, I think that is because you do speak your mind in a good way.
Yeah, or a version of it. You know, it's not, you know, yeah. Oh, I mean, it's, here's the thing. When I started writing stuff online, you know, just for a laugh, you have to understand, it was at a time when comedians had just really got into, MySpace had died, and all of a sudden Facebook was this really big thing. And comedians were really, really posting a lot on Facebook. Like, it seemed like not every comedian, but a lot of comedians were posting hourly.
Yes.
About, bloody hell, just got off the phone with the bloody BBC again. And it was just all, like it seemed their day was full of success. And I couldn't help but think that doesn't ring true with my experience of being a stand-up. You know, where's your fuck all? You know?
Yeah.
Where's all the fuck all? When do you do your fuck all? Because I know you do fuck all. So when do you do it?
When do you stare out the kitchen window just into the garden?
Right. When do you put your coat on and just stand in the living room? Go, do you know what? I should do something, but I don't know what it is.
Just sitting with one shoe on, just stand staring.
There. I don't know. I'll go somewhere. No, they weren't doing anywhere because they were having meetings, and we know that that's not true.
Yeah.
So that was the only reason that I started sort of going, well, that's bollocks, isn't it? That's just not... And I don't really know... I mean, we both know really, let's call them famous.
Mm.
I like to think of us as successful.
Yeah. Successful.
We're successful.
Yeah.
We might not be household names. Yet, but
after this,
do you know what? All it needs is one of us to blow our brains out
on this. Oh my god,
that's in the spirit of this podcast.
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
That's totally in the spirit of this podcast.
Oh god.
So, anyway, so but we know these really famous comedians and. I believe their days are full because they sort of have to be. They do have to, I've got to do the breakfast radio show. And then a bit later on, you know, I'm doing some other thing to plug my tour. Mm. I believe all that. Well, I don't believe, you know, Dave Shit, who's been on the circuit for 8 months. I just don't believe that he is. I'm writing a drama for BBC Radio fucking Aberystwyth, you know. It just,
I mean, we all could, whether they get it, they see it or not, we could all see it.
Yeah, okay, yeah, exactly. Oh, do you know what? I actually did do that. I realized so many people were bullshitting. I did an Edinburgh preview in 2004 in Liverpool, and they kept asking me, can you give us some credits to put on the blurb? And I went, like, what? And I went, well, you know, what have you done? Well, I haven't done anything. well, your stand-up, yeah, to put that. Yeah, no, but we need something more. And I went, well, I was in Star Trek The Next Generation. They went, all right. And they put down star of Star Trek The Next Generation.
You could have been.
Who would give a shit one way or the other? Because I think, I don't think Star Trek fans are the kind of people that go, really? I don't remember. They fucking know.
Yeah.
You know, Star Trek fans aren't ever, you know, a bit not sure of things.
Yeah. Like, you could have said something like, you're in Quantum Leap or something like that. You were like a...
Yeah, you know. Maybe. Yeah.
Star Trek.
So, I mean, if you are just starting out in comedy, actually, I take back whatever everything I'm just fucking lie your arse off.
Just lie your arse off, yeah.
Nobody looks it up. No one cares. I was in every shot of Schindler's List.
Oh, fuck.
I've said it. And if you watch that film... And if you don't remember, mate, then you clearly haven't watched it.
You didn't watch it properly.
No, you didn't watch
Jesus
it properly.
Jesus Christ.
I'm right beside the little kid looking up from the toilet.
Oh, my God. But what was lovely, though, I remember thinking there is a different side to you. And that was sadly, when Jerk passed away.
Yeah.
Your wonderful dog. And you were so bereft.
There she is.
Yeah, she is.
Yes, I mean, yeah, that's... but here's the thing. I never really thought of myself as a mourner. I'm not saying I don't have that ability. Mm. But I'm saying that I always thought, when it came to sort of the public world, which is the world now, yeah. You know, because everything that we feel, we write about it and we put it out for everyone to see... I never ever thought that I'd be that person that goes, "Oh, I'm sad." And I think part of that is to do with being a comedian.
Yeah.
Because I just think, do you know what? We've got one fucking job.
Yeah.
And it is not to be a fucking downer. but then life is a downer. So I like to think that we laugh at that, and I like to think also I laughed at my own mourning of my dog, which. Trust me, 5 years later, I'm still at Queen Victoria levels of grief.
Oh, mate.
I mean, you know, I'm... I would wear black every day.
Yeah.
Hang on. Really? I practically... anyway, but... yeah, it was... you know, I've never had anyone die on me. You know, I've had, you know... Well, my grandparents are dead, but I didn't have to pick up their shit. You know, I never had to look... I never had to kiss boo-boo... on my granddad's paw, and I'm glad of that.
So, can you imagine?
It would have turned a corner for me and my granddad if he had gone kiss boo-boo. But I did kiss boo-boo on my dog's paw, and, you know, and it's just something about the daily caring.
Mm.
Once it's gone, you go, oh, God. And, of course, I'm not a believer in anything that isn't solid life existence.
Yeah.
I don't believe... in any higher power. I don't believe in anything. I don't believe in ghosts. I believe once you're dead, you're dead.
Yeah.
That didn't stop me from constantly going, I hope Jerk's all right. Wherever she is. And even going, hope whoever's looking after her knows she doesn't like this. And she doesn't like that. So I'm very rational. And the entire experience was 100% irrational.
Yeah.
I spent my... days right after she died, going on the dog walk.
Oh, really?
I went on the dog walk without a dog, and the dog walk got longer and longer as days went by.
Yeah.
And I remember one day I went, right, I'm going to go for a walk. I won't go the normal dog walk. Do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to the pub. I'll walk to the pub. So that means I'm not being that lazy. Yes, I am going to the pub, but at least I'm walking to the pub. Those are two good things, and I'm clearly in a mentally healthy place. I'm going to drink on my own, but I'm going to walk there. That'd be great. Anyway, I walked to the pub. It just so happens that the pub was 17 and a half miles away.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I totally did a very slow Forrest Gump. Just kept walking. Just kept walking. And I walked past pub after... Not that pub.
Really?
Not that pub. Then I got to a pub that was 17 and a half miles. It wasn't 17 and a half miles away, but it was 17 and a half miles of a walk.
Right, or well, there and back.
Of me walking around.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You just couldn't...
I can't help but think that, you know... Chad really got the last fucking laugh in the whole sort of... Christ, do I have to go back on the lead? Do I have to... Bullshit. The bullshit that dog owners do to dogs, that dogs can't fathom. Sure.
Yeah.
I broke your brain. Yeah, you did.
Enjoy your lonely walk.
Yeah, so that is... I think that's my redeeming feature, Rich, and I'm hoping that's what point you were trying to get to.
Yes.
I could be a right bastard online, and I'm quite happy to be that. But the flip side is, if you even so much as, you know, say a bad word about a duck, I'm furious.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
hurting
animals is not on the agenda when it comes to me at all.
No. Unless you're a vegan, no. Aren't you?
You're bloody vegan? Right, mate.
Yeah.
I'd be more vegan if I could.
How could you be more vegan, become an animal?
I don't know. If they can prove apples whistle somehow, then they're out. You know.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, I've just... I've just become a vegetarian now.
Right.
It's been a slow process. I really love cheese, man. I'm trying.
Yeah, I mean, people love stuff. Yeah. It's hard to give it up.
Yeah. I had trouble for years eating meat. Because just felt... I enjoyed it and all that, but it was at the back of my mind, it was always like, this is flesh from something.
Yeah.
And it always sat a bit weird with me.
It was weird. Like, it's all I ate when I was like a teenager. Like, I didn't like a single vegetable.
Jesus.
I think it was being a teenager and being stubborn. So I lived off, right up until I was 21, certainly from about 15 to 21, it was just burgers.
Yeah.
And, you know, and... I don't mind saying this about myself, but I was a right fat fuck. Hey, but can we emphasise? I was a fuck. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean,
yeah, you were.
I was fat, but I was hot. Right? So I was a fat fuck up until, you know, I was about 20. And then something really good for weight loss-wise, something really good happened to me. I moved to London and I couldn't afford food.
Yeah, that'll do it. That'll do it. Yep.
So, the pounds just dropped off. Jeter. I mean,
the London way.
Those probably were my first vegan years. You know, me and Bobby Sands, we went through our vegan phase.
What a comparison.
Yeah. It's good to know that I'm not the first Northern Irish vegan. Bobby was there for his last month or so, he was vegan. Good reference for the kids.
Google Bobby Sands.
Yeah.
And then come back to us. Got a rest in peace for Bobby Sands. So you were talking about not believing in like a higher power. You just like, when you're dead, you're dead. Mm. Every person I've met who's from Ireland always had, even if they kind of go, I don't really believe it, but they, because they were brought up in a certain way.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
still inside them. They still, at the back of their minds, it's like, no, I don't know. There's still
absolutely.
That thing.
I mean, there's, if we're being really honest, and I like to think we're being really honest,
I think
here,
so.
Rich, there's never, I'd say never, a plane that I get on where I don't talk to God in my head.
Right.
And I don't believe in him.
No.
And I make a deal with God every time I'm on a plane. Just get me there safely.
It's like Kate Bush.
There you go. Yeah. Make a deal with God and get him to swap our places. And I don't like these seats on the plane. Can we swap me?
Well, he wouldn't get an upgrade, wouldn't he, surely?
Yeah. Oh, he's a first class guy.
Isn't he? isn't he?
He's a first-class guy. I absolutely adamantly do not believe in anything like that. I know there's not, because I'm a rational person, but there's so much irrationality, if that's a word. It seems like it should be.
Yeah.
It's indoctrination. That's how I was raised as a Catholic. And, you know, the old phrase, you know, once a Catholic, always a Catholic. You're doomed.
Yeah.
You are.
Just a lifetime
of guilt. You're never getting out of that gang.
No. Just guilt forever.
Guilt forever, but also fear. Just,
really?
You know, fear of, you know, but fear of, like, well, what if there is an afterlife and I am going to go to, I've got a one-way ticket to hell, definitely. I don't think they do returns from the afterlife anyway.
Yeah, I don't think. No, this is not for me.
It is generally a one-way ticket. So I think it's just fear and guilt and sort of in amongst all the rationality, there's just that gnawing away at the back of your head. Well, what if there is a God? You know, and at the end, everyone that you ever knew will be there. Will just be God judging you. Everyone will know. Your mum will know.
Everything you ever did.
To be fair, my mum's a Catholic mum. She knows. She knows when I'm doing it and how often I do it.
She can feel a rumbling in the force.
She's just... No. She's got a mum sense. She'll know.
Yeah.
She'll put down her knitting for a second and go, disgusting. Then back. She'll just know.
Back to it. Click, clack, click, clack.
Back to it. Knitting another Jesus. Can't do it quick enough for that part.
We need more Jesuses.
Yeah.
But I wasn't brought up Catholic or anything, but I was brought up to believe in God.
Right.
And so even on my level, there's still a bit of me that goes, I need to be better. And I'm like, what? For who? For what? Just be better to your fellow man. Don't worry about that.
I think it's, you know, we know all this. God is just a way of policing people.
Yes.
And that is what's missing. Because, unfortunately, that way of policing people doesn't work. Because then you get worried about God and not about people.
Yeah.
Because then, basically, God is Twitter. Because... oh, brilliant. No, I'm with God. So therefore, if you do something bad, you're the worst. And I saw that. Did you see it, God? I saw it too. And that's how Twitter works as well.
Yes.
It's Twitter is a fucking religion. Social media is a fucking religion. And damning people, you know, is so addictive.
Yeah.
And it's the same. It's just another wave of fucking Catholicism, which is the full name of Catholicism. Are you a Roman Catholic? No, I'm a fucking Catholic. Oh, God, they're the worst ones.
But I do get this, apart from human beings using it to manipulate other human beings and get money out of them, basically, and power, I do see there are people that love being a part of the community, and it gives them that.
There is true. I go to mass when I go home, and I go there simply because my mum sings in the choir, and I think, do you know what? It's not fair that my mum can't go to my gigs because I say cunt, and my mum will not be in the room with that word. those are my rules, by the way, not hers. I'm not having my mum in the room with a cunt. You make up your own joke with that, anyway, and. But I go to mass, and you know, it's my mum singing. That's her gig. I'll go to her gig. But as much as I think it's fucking moronic, right? It's also you can't knock. Some people are just getting together.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, people stand around and they talk, or they go on coffee and they don't go off to a coffee and go, hey. Wasn't God great today? No, they're talking about themselves. Yeah, they talk about each other. God might not be happy with this, but he's a really small part of the church.
He is actually,
the church community anyway. Yeah. I mean, maybe the running of the church, he's like, He's a bit yappier, but
he's like Ronald McDonald. He's kind kind of there, but it's not really anything to do with him.
He's there, and yet you just don't see him as much. Yeah,
yeah. It's all under his name, but
what's the difference between the archers and the cross?
Exactly.
Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. It's the same. It's the community. It's that thing happening regardless. And it's what was it like? Like, do you remember the day when you went, hang on a minute, this doesn't sound right.
And the thing is, I got hit for it.
Oh, right.
So, I mean, that's properly stuck in my head. I bring it up to my mum and dad fairly often. Do you remember that time that you beat me for saying I didn't believe in God? And they go, yes. Do you remember what you did that day? Yes. We actually further beat the belief out of you. That's right. You made me believe even less.
Yeah. So thank you.
Because I hadn't done anything wrong. And you beat me. Therefore, dos sums, God doesn't exist.
Because if he did, that shit wouldn't exist.
I was six when that happened.
My God, what?
And what happened was, we were on a family holiday and we were going to see some, like, fucking Catholic ruins. You know, my mom loves a dilapidated church.
Yeah.
You know, and no matter what's happened to the church, you can go, oh, yeah, well, it's just been there for hundreds of years, so it's collapsed. But my mom would go, yeah, the English burnt that down. No, they didn't.
just marauded in.
Yeah. But anyway, we went, and there was all these, you know, Celtic crosses, the old Celtic crosses. And we were told by this guy, and go, oh, these predate the birth of Christ by something like 3,000 years. I can't remember the amount of time, but it was a fuck of a long time before Jesus. And I went, but it's the cross. And I went, yeah, that's right. And I went, but Jesus was on the cross. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. But this is 3,000 years older.
Yeah.
Is Jesus not real then? Boom!
That was it.
What?
Oh, and that's when they kicked the shit out of you.
And then they put a bag on my head, put me in the boot of the car, drove me to Lourdes, and went, drink all of that.
I drank the river.
I had to drink the entire pool at Lourdes.
But I've never been to Belfast. I've been to Ireland. I've been around the edges of Northern Ireland. I've been to Enniskillen. And I was there, we were there just before, just as when we left, they blew up the police station. Not because we'd been there, but
it just
happened. But I know people that are from Belfast, and they've said to me that they struggled when we first met each other. They struggled with my accent because it was the soldiers that were in and around the place sounded like me, so they struggled with it a bit. And it sort of not going to Belfast. I know this is stupid and I'm just dealing with stereotypes and things like that, but I just think Belfast is just Jesus, God, Jesus, God, Jesus, God, constantly. And I know it isn't, but that's what it seems like to me, having not been.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it's not that, but it's definitely not so much. In fact, if anything, it's much more... It's much more political than it is religious. In fact, all of Northern Ireland really is much more political than it is religion and religious. And the whole sort of religious divide is fucking...
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's bullshit, but if you like, the meaning of it is bullshit because it's like... It's not really Catholics versus Protestants because that doesn't exist really. Like, 99% of people in Northern Ireland go... Couldn't give a shit.
Mm.
Absolutely could not give a shit. But there's a very loud percentage, very small percentage of people that do give a shit. But within that, it's not Catholics versus Protestants. It's much more British versus Irish, as I'm sure you know. But I don't know. It's I didn't really have that problem hearing English accents when I lived in Northern Ireland, because obviously I don't have a problem with the name because I live in England and they tend to be everywhere. But but I do remember It's only happened a couple of times, so don't get all scared around the gun. Because honestly, a couple of times we were walked from my house to school by soldiers. Now that's a but honestly, when you're a little kid, getting walked to school with a guy with a massive gun and a funny voice, best fucking day ever. You know, there just wasn't a fear of. Do you know what? I was definitely brought up not to have a fear of the British Army. It wasn't a fear. If anything, it was like, look at those dickheads. I mean, it was just like, why are they here?
Yeah.
Go home. You know, you're only hurting yourself, you fucking idiots. I mean, I say they're hurting themselves. I do believe other people tried to hurt them.
Yeah, quite a lot. There's a lot of that.
But you know, it is one of those things. I didn't have a problem with the Troubles or anything like that when I was a kid during the Troubles. Just didn't care.
Yeah, right.
And then sometime in, I'd say, my early 40s, I went, God, that was all really fucking wrong.
Yeah.
It was really wrong. And I would say, if we're really going to get insane in the men brain, proper talk now, I think it would probably do me some good to sit down and talk with a professional about how I feel.
I think so.
About Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
Because at the drop of a balaclava, let's do the gag, there's a massive lecture in me that wants to come out.
Yeah.
And I know that someone at some point is going to say, not the wrong thing, just a thing that rubs me up the wrong way. And I go, right! And it's all kind of, and it's, you know,
and it'll be some
poor guy that doesn't really know anything about the Irish story or the Northern Irish story or the British story. Like, for instance, I know British people don't know much about the British story because, you know what, I've been doing a routine for, I'd say, 5 years about Mrs. Brown's Boys, and one of the gags in it is what I say, you know, that Cromwell was a visionary.
Yes.
Now, when I first did that, that got a laugh every time because people have gone, holy shit, an Irish guy is saying that he supports Cromwell. Now that gets nothing because more and more people go, well, I don't know who Cromwell is.
I knew about Cromwell, but I didn't know the connection. And it literally, only because of your joke did I find out about that. Yeah.
There you go. So I think in a weird way, and this is, and hopefully we get on to gags after this.
Mm-hmm.
I think in a weird way, that Mrs. Brown's Boys routine is really hard for me to drop. One, fucking funny. Two, it is because I think there is something I almost said lethargic. It could be lethargic. There's something.
There's a lethargy. Do you mean there's a lethargy? Is that what
I didn't mean to say lethargic at all. There's something therapeutic.
Yes.
Total opposite. of saying those actual words out loud.
Yeah.
About, you know, how little, even on TV, a lot of the time Irish people are appreciated because it's like, oh, you like Mrs. Brown's Boys because we're all laughing at the fucking paddies. Is that it? Is that where we still fucking are?
Got you.
And that is my way of holding back the lecture that's in me that's waiting to fucking come out.
A catharsism. Cathartic,
exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. It's the big wooden bolt that's keeping those doors fucking closed.
Maybe this is it. Maybe this is the key. This is it now.
Who knows? It could come out.
But this is the thing. Growing up, it was the Englishman, Irishman, Scotsman jokes were everywhere.
Yeah.
And you didn't... And everybody told them we've just gay abandoned. It was just everywhere, and you didn't even think about it. It wasn't until later on, and you go, shit. I remember I got pulled up on it years and years ago when I was in my early 20s, and someone said, "Mate," and I went, shit, yeah, I hadn't thought about that, and I got this big lecture about why it was not good and it was terrible, and I didn't think about it. I didn't think about it at all. It just didn't occur to me. Yeah. I'm only telling a joke. Yeah. No, you're saying that a whole race of people are thick.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, Unfortunately, I grew up with those jokes as well. Like, I mean,
how did that feel?
It was normal, absolutely normal. Right? Two Irish men go into a pub. Was it me and my dad? Did we have a nice time? No, it's far worse than that. That's basically how every joke was. But and they were normal. Certainly my parents would go, "Oh, heard a brilliant one, Michael. Heard a brilliant one." And it was always a stupid Paddy. Yeah. Doing a stupid thing.
Really?
And it was always the English guy that just... The English guy got off scot-free.
Every single time.
Every fucking time. Cunts.
But then he became... And then the English guy became the bad guy in all the movies.
Yeah, that's true.
Which was quite a turnaround.
Yeah.
Whenever they
Do you know what? I mean, this will sound like a crowbar, but here's the thing. Got a book, but it doesn't matter. We're not plugging the book. This is what I'm talking
about.
No, we
are, though. We're going to do that. Yeah.
Oh, okay. But see for the audio book of it, every single time there's... I actually say this in the audio book. You might have noticed every single time that I do a bad guy's voice, I do it in an English accent, and that's because it's accurate.
Yeah.
So
we're the ones that have been barreling around the world fucking it all up. So, of course, we're the bad guys.
You're all villains.
All of us.
All of you.
Every time, every morning when we're having our cereal, we're just plotting and scheming for the next thing.
Oh, love you. Yeah. Hugh Laurie, cunt. David Attenborough, cunt. All of you.
Plotting
not
and
one,
scheming.
Not a decent one. Daniel Radcliffe, I'll let him go.
But even my accent to other ears, especially in America, they do think I'm really well spoken.
Yeah,
and they're like, oh, no, absolutely not, absolutely.
Yeah, because I remember Lee Mack being on Would I Lie to You, talking about being an American, everyone thinking he was posh. He was like, "Is that true, Lee? Are you doing another one of the lies?"
Yeah, it's true, though. It is true. Yeah. They all, we're all evil. Every comedian I've seen, Bill Burr's got this whole bit where he's talking about the group, the Bilderberg group, and that's a British accent that he does. You know,
right? Does he?
Yeah. Have we all had our fun?
But how do you feel about that? I'm now in charge of the podcast.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, how do you feel about... Because let me make this very clear. I do not think that about England at all.
No,
I definitely think there's something missing from the English education system, which means that kids might not know about a lot of British history, which I definitely think... there's no point sort of going, yeah, we were dickheads then, so let's not talk about it. You were dickheads, I think you should talk about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's that, and that's it. It's always been, as far as I'm... only in the last few years have I now been sort of... And I'm 49, and I'm suddenly like...
You look great.
Oh, shit, thanks, mate. I'm shit. It's like, we were just told... This happened, that happened. We were the leaders. We changed everything. We went around the world and we educated everybody and we discovered all these worlds and these lands and this, that and the other. And it's only in the last sort of 10 years that you go, no, you didn't. People already there.
Yeah.
In fact, you weren't even...
Exactly. Just gone, oh, yeah, do you know what? I've just discovered this house. But there's a family in there. Now I've discovered it.
Yeah. This is my house now.
Yeah, I've discovered it. Yeah, I just smashed the door in. Discovered it.
It's true, though, isn't it? And it's exactly how it was. And then there's a great bit in the book Street Fighting Man, and it's actually a bit from a play. And it says that going around basically stealing from other people under the umbrella of bringing them culture. You're like, we were educating them. We were, these savages.
Well, doesn't that, to a degree, doesn't that somewhat still happen? I mean, certainly, like, religious missionaries always seem really weird to me. Like, and that still goes on, right?
Yeah, well, look at that boat that went to that island. Is it Sentinel Island or wherever it is?
Right.
And they've got the people that live on the island. They're untouched by us. They live on this island. And he went there. And the authorities have said, do not go there. Nobody go there.
Yeah.
Because they don't... They've got their own rules, their own thing going on. And he got killed.
Sure.
And you're like, yeah, so that was it. That was another version of him going to educate the savages. And you're like,
oh, God. Also, it's just, it's quite a depressing sort of thought that really there is somewhere that's so untouched by the progressive world. I love the idea of an entire, you know, race of people have gone, no, I'm stepping out.
Yeah.
We're out of this. And then all of a sudden, after, you know, decades or hundreds of years of being really peaceful and being together and having a brilliant community, a guy comes along with a Bible and goes, I've got great news. You're all going to burn in hell.
Well, we're going to kill you then.
Oh, thanks for letting us know.
Yeah, it's a sin that you're alive. You shouldn't even be here.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with Catholicism. It's like, it's guilt from day one.
Oh, fuck yeah.
How are you supposed to...
I know exactly. You have sinned the moment you're born. So what I'm saying is, to newborn babies, you might as well sin.
Yeah, you might as well get it out. Yeah,
just
do it.
Just come out of the womb.
Yeah. Do it in there. Sin while you're in there.
Come out of the womb, immediately start swearing. Just throw a brick through a window, whatever you can get your hands on, fuck things up, because you've already been judged.
Yeah. It's absurd. When you break it down to that, that's ridiculous.
Everything's fucking absurd. All things about religion. Right, here's the thing. Here's what... Right, I have to word this very carefully. But here's what I can't get my head around. Respect for people's religious beliefs. Right. That's a phrase I can't get my head around. Understanding and tolerance of people's religious beliefs, I'm all for that. I tolerate people. Respect? No. You will get zero respect because it's fucking stupid. All of it. But if that's what you believe in, well, that's fine. I'm not going to stop you.
Yeah.
Good. Are you happy? Fine. Then believe the lunacy that you want to believe, that absolutely not one grain of evidence at all. How can you even think, like, go, no, you should respect that. How?
Yeah.
How can I respect that you believe something that has nothing going for it and it is magic?
Yeah.
I believe in magic.
And the fact that there was different versions of it. So that was something else that I was talking to someone years ago, and she said to me, and she was like, yeah, well, there's... No. She goes, there's not loads of gods, because it's just the one God. It's just we believe different versions.
Right.
And I went, oh, okay. So it's the same thing, but a different version. So they're not like side by side. I had it in my head. They're always up there side by side, kind of jostling for position. Producer Paul said it brilliantly. He said it's like when your phone contract is up, just as you're about to die, you find out which is the best place to buy a new phone, which company to go with.
Yeah.
So it's like religion. Like when you're about to die, you pick the best one, see who's got the best deals.
Yeah.
And it...
Exactly.
Yeah. And it just sounds...
Because some religions don't have a hell.
Right.
So why would you even go to one that does?
Yeah, that was... Yeah, why would you do that? You just... Yeah, believe in a good one.
Yeah. Yeah. If there's one that goes, there's no hell, there's only centre parks.
Yeah.
Go what? It's going to be lovely.
Why would you go...
Really nice temperature all year round.
But some people, they feel they should be punished. They're like, yes, I have, like, they believe in that. They go, yeah, I'm not the version of myself that God needs me to be, so I should be punished. You're like, fucking hell, chill
do
out,
you
man.
I mean, keep in mind that I have said to you that that I still talk to God occasionally when I'm on a plane.
Yeah.
So there must be something in there. So keep that in mind.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Do you remember how you were when you believed in God?
Yes.
Because I remember how I was when I believed in... This is so weird. I believed in religion more than I believed in God.
Right,
I believed
okay.
in Catholicism more than I believed in God. So I definitely... I was a much stricter person. I remember having a conversation when I was 21 with someone... about abortion. And I said these words, abortion is murder. Wow. That's what I said.
Okay.
Because that is genuinely what I believe.
Right.
And she had a chat with me. And within that chat, I went, oh. And it was like, it was, it wasn't like, do you know what it was like? It wasn't like having a big sort of, you know, hood of shame put over me.
Mm.
It was like somebody fucking throwing me a rubber ring.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. So not everything is damnation.
No.
It isn't.
Well, that was it. But that was because of what you were brought up with. That was this.
Completely correct. And do you know what? It never crossed my mind that that wasn't wrong. It never.
Well, we trusted the adults.
Yeah.
We trusted the adults with their.
We absolutely did.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is. I find it really weird to think that, you know, I was so late on in life. I was an adult.
Mm.
And I still had some weird fucking beliefs that no one who was an adult should have any of these beliefs. None.
Well, this is it. It's that I'm the same. It's only been in recent years where I've gone, having now been a parent for longer than I wasn't, and being a grown up now, and you kind of go, yeah, the grown ups didn't know what the fuck they were talking about. They were just putting their bullshit onto you.
Yeah,
they were going, this is what, because they didn't. I don't think their generation, the generation before us, I don't think they really had. They weren't really questioning things as much as we do.
No, I mean, I find it really interesting to hear my parents' views on society.
Yeah.
Now, because they're not the views that I grew up with. My mom and dad are very sort of like, oh, I don't know why people have such a problem with gay people. You definitely used to.
Yeah.
But, you know, what I'm saying is they went through the same thing as me.
Yeah.
Someone clearly must have said something to either my mom or my dad, or they read something, or, you know. There's no way either of them just had this moment of going, do you know what, I've had a think.
Yeah.
You know, someone had to have gone, someone or something had to have gone, I think this is a much more viable option.
Yeah.
To think of people as people rather than weird, you know, bizarre enemies of our society.
And that's the thing as well. I just feel, you can believe what you want, like you said, but it's when they talk to you like you're wrong.
Mm.
That's when I have an issue with religion. It's when it's like, oh, well, you know, I'm like you. I still speak to someone now and again.
Yeah.
I just still go, sort that out for me. It's never when I don't need it.
Yeah.
That's something as well. Someone said that before. They went, you only ever talk to God when you need something.
Yeah. You know what? I do get upset with God, but I get upset at the wrong things, because I do talk to him when I'm on a plane.
Yeah.
And although he's never, even though I've asked him, he's never let me win the lottery.
No. And
I bought, I don't know, 10 lottery tickets in my life. I go, fuck's sake. Is this really fucking hurting you? Making me a millionaire? What is that ruining? If I was a wealthy man, why is this upsetting anything?
Yeah, just say, just tick the box.
And yet, I don't get really thankful when that plane lands.
No.
In fact, I forget God exists.
Yeah, I forgot I even spoke to him.
I forget God exists because he doesn't exist. He doesn't exist, and I know he doesn't exist, and I'm rational, but I'm also really scared.
I did it the other day. I bought a lottery ticket.
And did
you? And I was in my head. I'm going, look, I don't even want all of it. I just want a bit. And then I'll sort this person out, that person out. That's what I was doing.
That's the first thing you think in your head. Do you know what? Do you know why I want to win? So I can help others.
Yeah.
And have a big fuck off house. Why should I not get a treat? But I'll help others first.
Yeah. Oh yeah. As I'm waiting for the paperwork to go through on my massive house, I'll help everybody else out as well. That's what I'll do. That's what I'm going to do. So just tick that box that says, yes, Rich is going to win the lottery. Just do that for me. I don't know.
Like, I'd say that's more proof that he doesn't exist. Because there's no way we're ruining his eternal plan.
No.
No way.
Whatever, yeah. Oh, mind you, it is that when, was it the Ricky Gervais film? Is it this, what's it called? The Secret of Lying or something like that?
The Invention of Lying.
No, not him. It wasn't him. It was Bruce Almighty. And Bruce Almighty, yeah, yeah. When it all came in, like, and everybody won the lottery. Everybody. So they ended up with like 0.00% of a dollar or something like that.
Yeah, I wouldn't like that.
No. I don't want everyone
to
win it.
That's like that year that we all won the Edinburgh Prize. Fuck off.
Yeah, I don't want that. I don't want that.
No, don't want it. I want everyone to look at me like the winner I am. Not the winner we are.
They say, me. And then I will decide who gets help after that.
Do you know what? If I just win the Edinburgh Award, I'll make sure these up-and-coming comedians, I'll put them in my telly series.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Oh, I do want a telly series as well, God. I want that as well.
Mate, are you...
Have you heard the song What the Hell Is It This Time by Sparks?
No.
That's a great talking to God song.
Is it?
Because it's just going, oh, for fuck's sake, what... I mean, the constant voices that God is hearing, it's gone...
Right,
really?
Yeah.
You can't sort that out yourself. Which I suppose is what Bruce Almighty is about, really.
It was, yeah. You can hear at one point just the voices. You know, yeah, that must be. That must be. Yeah. They go, yeah, but you know, God is everywhere. God is listening. God is this. You go, well, that doesn't even make sense. Because that's the, that there. I mean, anyone listening and you're religious, that's up to you. And I respect it. But. I can't. It just doesn't make sense to me.
But well, logically, he's got to miss some stuff.
Yeah, yeah, like us winning the lottery.
Yeah,
maybe he's got a filter. He's got a filter on, and there's like Twitter. You can mute certain words, so he's muted lottery. He's bingo.
Yeah, that's true. God, I never really thought of God with a filter.
Yeah.
No.
It's got, and then, and all the people that go, oh, I want world peace. He's like, you know, he just puts that on the pile with the others. He's like, yeah, I should get to that at some point. Because I imagine God has his days where he's like, oh, he's stacking up. I just can't be bothered with this fucking admin.
But maybe he's also gone, do you know what? I'm not the person who fucking started the whole world war thing. I just gave you the planet.
Yeah. That's true, actually. Yeah, that's for you to
sort. So maybe, the world peace thing, you saw that. And then I'll let one of you win the lottery.
But no one you ever know.
Nah. Well, no. Yeah, it's not weird. I don't know anyone that's won the lottery.
No, I've met someone that has. I used to deliver bedroom furniture, and we delivered a posh bed to this new house in Bickley near Bromley, where I used to live. And they said, the young girl and her grandma said, yeah, we won the lottery and bought this house, and now we're filling it with furniture and. Yeah, and I've met someone that has, so I know it's not a complete scam. Because there is that thing where you kind of go, oh, yeah, I reckon it's just stooges. Every now and again, they wheel someone out and go, we won the lottery, it could be you, and then we all buy tickets again.
I mean, is this snobby? It is.
Yes.
They never look cool people, do they?
They never have good taste.
Do you know what I mean? It's never... I don't remember seeing, like, you know, Lou Reed and Laurie Anderson, like, with a big check and a bottle of champagne. You know, it's...
Having won the postcode lottery.
It's always, no matter what, they always look like Brexit voters, even before we heard of Brexit. It's just like, I wouldn't let you within 1,000 yards of my kids.
Maybe that's it then. Maybe God just favours... He favours those kinds of people, those different people, if you will.
Well, you know, I mean, it does change you.
Yeah.
You know, all that money. People say, oh, the money won't change you, but it does change you. It changes every single person who suddenly, out of nowhere, gets a huge amount of money. So maybe if you are an absolute prick, you'll become a decent person. Maybe that's the thinking.
Maybe, yeah, well, maybe he's trying
to do
that.
He needs changing. Let's give him a whole load of money.
But you, have you had therapy before? I'm having it now. I'm having counselling now.
I've had therapy twice, but I definitely needed it once, and the second time, I know that my therapist. But put it this way, he was struck off, or whatever phrase it used. I suspected there was something about him that wasn't right.
Right,
even down to his name, Dr. Wayne. I'm not going to Wayne the therapist, but I did. I went to Wayne.
Where was Wayne's?
Right, Wayne.
Where was Wayne's surgery?
It was an elephant in castle. Do you know, you walked in, he opened a couple of tins, we had a right laugh. Hour later, everything was fine.
Oh, I'm sure this is the foyer of the Dole office. No, this is right.
No, it's fine, it's plush, it's an office. Drink away. But the first time I went because it's sometime in the 90s, I broke up with someone and I felt, oh my God, I think I'm worried that I've made a huge mistake, and also, I felt very alone.
Yeah.
And, but it was a really interesting experience because after a few weeks of talking to a therapist, I think they said something you're not really supposed to say, but I was really glad they said it. They just went, your partner sounds terrible.
Oh my God.
You're definitely not missing out by not being with them. And I was like, yeah, but I might not ever meet anyone that good again. Right? Oh, I doubt you'll meet anyone that bad again.
What?
That is true. And the thing is, they were right, because I've not met anyone at all that bad.
Really? Oh, my God.
No. Terrible human being.
That's funny, actually, because when I had therapy, I had a counsellor, and when I was telling him my love life, and he said the same thing, the person that I'd started to see, and he said, I think you should stop seeing him.
Whoa.
Yeah. He goes, I think you should.
He fancied her?
I don't know. No, he didn't, because he was gay.
Oh.
He said, I remember saying that, because I remember coming out and speaking to her and saying, he said this, and she went, well, you shouldn't be saying things like that. And that's what he said. Turns out he was right.
Yeah.
So maybe there is something in it. Maybe what we're doing, we're seeing honest therapists. Maybe there's a...
Yeah. Maybe. But keep in mind, that wasn't Dr. Wayne.
No.
Dr. Wayne was... Dr. Wayne was like... He was fucking weird.
What else did he do?
Well, Dr. Wayne said that... At one point he said, you have to try and befriend people that look like the people that you were friends with years ago that you connected with. Like, what?
What?
Yeah. So it'll remind you of those times. So all of a sudden you'll have this new circle of friends, but they'll look like the old son. Like,
what is this?
One, why do I want to get rid of my old circle of friends? Two, what the fuck? So
replace him with lookalikes.
I suspected that he sat there and drifted off a lot and then went, right, I think he said this and put two and two together and came up with Q and then just went, right, well, here's what I would do, Michael, is just don't have any more soup.
What?
All right.
And you went, well, I'm paying him money. I mean, and he is Dr. Wayne after all, so.
He's got that certificate that says Dr. Wayne.
Yeah, yeah.
They can't come cheap.
Out of a vending machine. what stopped you going to see Mr. Wayne? Dr. Wayne, sorry. Mr. Wayne is Batman, obviously.
Yeah, Dr. Oh, he's Mr. Wayne now. Yeah. Let me make that very clear. Mr. Wayne is Mr. Wayne now.
Why did he get struck off? Do you know?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. And I'm not 100% sure it is him. But it just makes sense because I heard from someone who went to the same, if you like, centre as me. I went, yeah, there's this guy. And she went, what was his name? Dr. Wayne. And she went, yeah. But no. She wasn't too sure if that absolutely was his name. And she went, yeah, he literally just made shit up. And I went, well, that's how it came across to me.
Wow.
So he was like, you know, put it this way, someone was asked to leave and I only met one of those people and I reckon he's the most likely.
Dr. Wayne. Oh, my yeah. God. It's funny, isn't it? And the guy I've got now, he's great. He's just, we're having to do it via Zoom, but he's brilliant. He just sits and listens and I talk about all manner of stuff. And every now and again, he kind of steers it back on topic. Because I'm just talking to my laptop for an hour. And he's just, right. You know, just get it off my chest. Because I wanted to...
Yeah.
I think the reason I went is because I needed to see if I was a decent person after this horrible thing that had happened. And just to figure out if there was something I could do to improve, if I was this person that this other person had said I was.
And okay.
It's like that.
Isn't that interesting? That you've actually clarified why I went to the therapist in the first place, not Dr. Wayne.
No.
First, because I felt I was horrible.
Yes.
For ending a relationship that made me feel like shit.
Yeah.
Constantly. And anyway, after 3 weeks, like I said, I think he did the right thing.
Yeah.
Who knows? But yeah, you're right. I mean, I think that's a good thing to find. I mean, I don't know anyone that would think of you as anything less than an absolutely perfect human being, quite frankly, because you're a joy to be around. But it is nice to have some sort of professional clarification.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just need that. Just need that sign on the dotted line. Yeah, no, it's certified.
You know, I'm not alone when I have these thoughts. I know I'm not. But honestly, if anyone ever compliments me, just go, oh, Michael, you're great. In my head, I go, I'll get a second opinion. You know,
well, you are. Mm. I think you're great. You've become one of my most favourite people. I think you're
And
brilliant.
Here's the thing. And I reckon you'll think this about you too. I reckon I'm great too. I know I'm bad. I know that I have so many bad parts to myself and some parts I'm ashamed of that I shouldn't be ashamed of, and some parts I'm ashamed of that I definitely should be ashamed of. And I know that I'm a fuck-up of a human being, but I also know I'm fucking great.
Yeah, you're a human being.
And I'll tell you one thing, and this is one thing that Catholicism has not fucking wrung out of me. I do have a fear of death, and it's not going to hell. It's really not going to, and it's clearly it's not going to happen, because that's not going to happen. It is literally going, oh, that's a shame. I would have enjoyed a bit more of me. I'll miss me.
I've enjoyed being
that's
me.
It's a shame there'll be no more me.
Ah,
God damn it.
Yeah, I think that's it. The only reason I fear death is that. When this is good, it's really good.
Yeah.
And it's funny as well talking about therapy. Someone said to me the other day, we only go to therapy because of other people. We don't go because of ourselves. Like, oh, I feel I need a bit of a tune up. It's always what someone else has done to you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's definitely, it's definitely a good thing to go to. Definitely, yeah. and you know, we can see the results of people accepting praise and not questioning it, not going sort of like, am I great? I'll have a second opinion. I mean, if you want to go straight top of the field, if we look at, you know, Donald Trump, and you mustn't look directly at Donald Trump, you mustn't look directly at him because you will be sick. There's a guy that you just go, oh my God, when you hear negative things said about yourself, you hear them as positive.
Yeah.
Like, he never questions anything about him. He only questions things about everyone else. And fuck me, I'd love to have his money. I mean, I hear he's in debt, but I'd like to have his pretend money. But I don't know if I could possibly handle being, it's not even confident, it's deluded, isn't it?
It is deluded.
To be that deluded.
Yeah.
because you've got to work on that day in, day out, day in, day out. At least I can pop a film on and go, oh, brilliant. I can forget about being shit for 2 hours. Whereas, you know, like Donald Trump will put a film on, like he'll watch John Wick and go, I could beat him. You know, that's, you know, he won't even be able to enjoy a film. Yeah,
it's true. But that's the thing with delusion, and I know people that are that and have been that. It's something clicks in them, and they become. It's not. They don't even need to work at it. It just is. Their complete outlook is like, well, yeah, of course I should be the ruler of the world. I just should.
Which brings us back full circle to how I started writing online, because I saw comedians going, what the fuck are you doing? What? How are you this deluded? Why do you think that other adults will read the thing that an adult has written and gone, yes, that's true, and not go, fuck off? But the thing is, comedians can be as deluded as they want because they're not Trump. They have so many chinks in their armour. We're riddled with chinks in our armour. So you can just go, oh, you had another meeting today. Was it a meeting or did you speak to your agent about, do you know what? Yeah. I had a dream last night and I think I'd like to be on fucking This Morning with Richard and Judah, even though it's not on the air anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
It's a meeting. I mean, yeah, I suppose it isn't a meeting of sorts.
It's not a meeting, is it? No, it's not a meeting.
No. You weren't asked to come in. You weren't driven. You weren't picked up in a car.
No.
You weren't sitting around a boardroom. Right, what can we do with you? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, mate. But speaking of which, though, you've got a book out.
This Old Thing?
Yes!
Yep. My magnum opus. So, I mean, it is a book. Let's not say it's not a book. But firstly, some people have asked me, what's it about? And it is about nothing at all, because it is basically writing that I have done online over the years. It's not a best of people who sort of have, you know, somewhat enjoyed my writing online might go, oh, I hope that Mrs. Brown's Boys in it. No, it's not in there. It's pretty much, I'd say, predominantly writing that I did online that I really, really, really liked and no one else did. So it's the worst of.
It's
the worst of. But there's a lot of new stuff in there too. So it's about 50-50.
Excellent. And where can we find that? Is it available everywhere or is it mail order?
It's available everywhere if you have the internet.
Right.
Because then you can go on gofasterstripe.com. That's gofasterstripe.com. And you can buy my book, Strawberries to Pigs. Yeah, that's the end of that plug. That's as much as I could possibly do. I was trying to think of another thing. How else can I encourage, you know, people to... Do you know what? I could not give a fuck if you don't buy it.
I think your very existence...
Change anything? It's the exact same... I have the same sort of feeling that God has. I don't care if you fucking end up with this. Just like he doesn't give a shit if I don't end up with the lottery. I don't care. I know that this book will enrich your life. But whether you get it or not, couldn't give a shit.
It's on you, isn't it?
I am the god of my own book.
Oh, my God. Michael, this has been brilliant. What a way to finish. And we can find you online as well, on Twitter and that.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, you can find anyone online.
Yeah, we can find you online.
You don't have to find me. Plenty of people.
He's around. You'll come across him at some point.
Come around.
Nice. Let's have a pint. We don't need to go and do that. So,
mate.
Yeah. Talk music.
Mate, my favourite song of all time is you saying, let's have a pint.
Yeah.
Love it.
Let's do it in the next couple of weeks. Michael, thank you so much, mate.
Thank you, mate.
Been an absolute joy. Thank you.
Insane in the membrane.
Mom
deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Made by darkhorsedigital.co.uk, shooting, live streaming, and podcast production.